This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 3.
Packer and Durham, my partner calls it the Power Hour, and rightfully so. Dan McDonald, Louisville Baseball, join us here momentarily. Also, Malcolm Huckabee will come on board in about a half an hour, so a busy show from a guest perspective. We'll also take your phone calls if you are in the mood at 844-SAY-ACCN.
Louisville is the preseason favorite in ACC baseball. The Cards, unbelievable. Just the thinking of what they've done from an ACC perspective since coming into this league, in regular season and certainly tournament, it's phenomenal what they brought to the table in the sport, and Dan McDonald's done a phenomenal job, and looking forward to talking to him about his program as well as the league. And it's hard to believe this thing starts this week.
Friday. Series start on Friday, and it's go time. And we've got some big-time series here. Louisville's involved with one.
Yeah.
Hooking up with Ole Miss, which will be a great ACC-SEC love affair. Two venues that fan bases that love their baseball. Mm-hmm. But Louisville's the favorite, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I think that was one of our questions yesterday. I'm buying them to continue their great play. And, again, College World Series, they're looking for some unfinished business to maybe close the deal in Omaha.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams that, that'll be chasing the Cards, too. It should be a great year for ACC baseball, and it was announced last week. Over 70 ball games will be shown on ACC Network this spring, and we're looking forward to bringing you great coverage of ACC baseball and catching up with a lot of
people. And excited that the championship's going to be right here in our backyard.
Yep.
Great ballpark, too, by the way, for folks who have not been to Charlotte to see baseball. It's out of sight.
Yeah, back 20 years ago or so, it was down the road, just over the line in Fort Mill at the Knights Castle, the old minor league ballpark.
This is
I guess,
a lot
right?
nicer. This
ballpark's great.
This is big time, man. It's great.
If you've been to the ACC football championship, you've been by the stadium on the Mint Street side, I guess it is, right? And it's a great ballpark and home of the AAA Charlotte Knights. So looking forward to having the ACC baseball championship here in Charlotte. Let's see. We got Dan McGall ready, I think, in Louisville. To join us live. Let's welcome the coach of the Cards to Packer in Durham this morning. What's up, Mac? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
I mean, listen, you know what I love about all this is that your opening series is a no-nonsense, no-joke,
yeah.
Baseball as good as it gets, Louisville Ole Miss, and I know the relationship has a play here, but what a cool way to start the season.
It is, you know, it's great for that long off season where when you think you get their attention because you make references and challenges, what it's like to play in a hostile environment. And for us this year, that's going to be the theme. I mean, we have to be road warriors when you open up at a great, facility and program like Ole Miss, a top 25 team. But in ACC play, you know, we go to Miami, we go to Florida State, we go to Wake Forest, we go to North Carolina. And then even though Boston College is not in the top 25 currently, I feel like they will be at some point in the season. So I feel like you got five ACC top 25 road trips.
The thing I always like about talking ACC baseball with you is you have such a great feel for not only the landscape of this league, but also the rest of the country. So I can ask you in general here, this league looks like on paper, it might be one of the best leagues in the country. Why? In your mind, is the ACC ready to take that step?
Well, a lot of returning talent that, you know, if we had a little downswing, if you call it that, maybe it was because we had a lot of young guys playing. I mean, Miami was playing freshmen, and then they were playing sophomores, and that's why now they're, you know, top five in the country. And North Carolina and Wake Forest and Boston College, these other teams were real young this past year or two, so I think it's an older league. It's a lot of guys that have played in the Cape Cod, been a part of USA Baseball, and the value of a 20, 21, and sometimes maybe a 22-year-old on your team, in your lineup, in your dugout is super valuable.
Coach, I've always found it interesting your position in terms of location and recruiting. I mean, obviously, you've got a great national reputation. Your program does, too. You've won championships at the highest level. But from a recruiting-based perspective, what is the advantage that Louisville has right now over so many other teams?
Well, I don't know if it's an advantage. Maybe it is. I'm sure LSU has a great advantage recruiting Louisiana kids, and Florida State and Miami have great advantages recruiting Florida kids. It's just baseball is very regionalized. So, you know, we're only as good as the kids in our region. I think the advantage is they fit into our system or our system fits for them, however you want to look at it, that we get, you know, a lot of multi-sport athletes, a lot of what I call tough kids, competitive kids, blue-collar kids, hardworking, you know, Midwest kids from hardworking Midwest families, and it seems to fit. I mean, I'm a Northeast guy, so I guess I've always had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder in college baseball, and I think it's healthy that our kids probably have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder as to maybe they don't get as much love coming out of high school but obviously when they step into our program and they do the things that they're capable of doing, they get that recognition and obviously they're doing really well in pro ball.
All right. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. You're the preseason favorite in the league. You're highly regarded nationally. What does the head coach like the most about his team right now before you play your first game?
Well, I think the reason we're preseason favorite, it has to be on the mound. When you look at Detmers, Miller, and Luke Smith, three of your top four starters, you know, we lost Nick Bennett, was a great weekend starter for us for 3 years. But the other three return. You look at your bullpen, Elliott, Kieran, and Poland. So six of your top eight arms return on a team that finished third in the country. We kind of expected we would get some preseason love. Got to replace some holes. I mean, you lose Fitzgerald, Snyder, Wyatt, Campbell, and some really good offensive players. But, you know, our coaches do a great job. We love developing kids. And it's a time now for some of these other hitters, like Masterman, like Bianco, Britton. Of course, Oriente seems like he's been a fixture now. But to have a senior in the lineup like that, we still feel like we got an old lineup. And that's what helps me sleep a little more at night is Benelis and, you know, Davis, you know, were two star freshmen last year and they're sophomores now and they still could be the youngest guys in the lineup. So I feel like that experience and that age could help us.
All right. Reed Detmers had a fantastic season a year ago. He is just in my mind, the next Louisville guy to be a potential high draft pick, come next summer. What is it about him in the offseason? I know you put these guys, you give them things, hey, look, we need you to be better doing X or Y. So what was the checklist for Detmers?
You know, some of our staple phrases are stick to the process and 1% better every day. And, you know, Reed got to pitch for the national team, Team USA, this summer. I know it was good for him to be around some other great pitchers. And what I remember from doing that back in 09 with Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer and Sonny Gray and Drew Pomerantz and all those talented pitchers was how hard they worked. And so Reed was a hard worker to begin with. But when you spend a summer with, let's say, the other 10 to 12 best pitchers in the country, they all have a lot of really good qualities about them. And so, you know, I'm sure Reed just puts his head down, works hard, just be his best, and hopefully he doesn't feel like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, that, you know, attack the zone, you know, be aggressive, let the defense work behind you. But what Coach Williams has done a phenomenal job with our pitchers, always seems like that third pitch starts to develop and that fourth pitch. That, you know, once they kind of figured out McKay a little bit with the fastball and the big breaking ball, then he started going to the cutter. And I think, you know, Reed has worked on the cutter and his changeup. Bobby Miller has worked on the cutter and his changeup. And so it's fun to watch these older pitchers develop and each year just get a little bit better.
Dan, when Vanderbilt won the national championship last year, and again, I know this last year, different team, all that stuff. What did you see in Omaha where you said, you know what, the piece that we're missing to be that team for 2020 is fill in the blank?
I didn't feel like we were missing anything. And it is what it is. You can't make excuses. You lose game one. So right there, you're in the loser's bracket. Game two, you know, you got a guy, Bobby Miller, who just had a no-hitter into the ninth inning in the Super Regionals, and we get four innings out of him, and we get a rain delay, and we can't play till the next day. So even though we win the next day, it was almost like we played two games because we had to use our number two starter. He's done for however many days, and we had to use five innings of our bullpen. So we go into game three, and we win that game in dramatic fashion late. So as we go into game four, Luke Smith almost gives us a complete game. And because our bullpen was taxed. Our bullpen had pitched in the three previous games. We come up a run short. And even if we'd have won that game, we still would have had to have some really, really big performances because of, you know, when you get in the loser's bracket and then you only get a four-inning start out of maybe your strongest pitcher, our back was against the wall. But, I mean, it wasn't like we made excuses, so we didn't, you know, as coaches, we always want to get better, but we didn't feel like, well, we couldn't do this, that, or the other. We lost to a really good team that beat us by, I think, a run or two in each game.
All right, I want to close with this because I've always fascinated by you and the things you find, especially from the psychological side of sports and the stuff you work with and take to your team. We've had the good fortune to really get to know Scott Satterfield and certainly talk to Jeff Walls and now Chris Mack on a regular basis. Just the feel and the vibe around Louisville right now has got to be as good as you've seen it since you've been there as the head baseball coach. Wouldn't you agree?
It's very healthy. Yeah, it's obviously football kicks off the fall, and we always have great Olympic sports, so some of those that don't get as much attention, but we know how much attention football gets. So, you know, football kicked us off and gave us great momentum. Basketball's been in the top 10 and probably the top 5 most of the year. So it is. It's a great culture. Everybody's really excited. The preseason rankings for baseball I thought was really cool. I know some head coaches downplay it. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but says a lot about our program, says a lot about the alumni, the former players, says a lot about our current players, but also our fans. I want our fans to be excited. And I thought last year was a breakthrough year for us when we went into the loser's bracket in the regionals. We had to play two long games on Sunday. We had to go into the Monday, if necessary, game, and we were chosen for noon on a Monday. And I thought, oh, man, it was packed. And then the Super Regionals, we were chosen for noon on Friday, and it was packed. And so I just thought it was a breakthrough year for our program as a whole. And to go into this season being highly ranked just kind of fires everybody up. And as I've always said, you know, it's our part to finish out the year. We get through basketball season. We get through the Derby. But after the Kentucky Derby, you know, our fans are hopefully hanging on every last pitch of Louisville baseball, and we want to send them off into the summer in good spirits.
All right. Great to have you with us as always. Good luck on Friday. It's hard to believe Valentine's Day starts college baseball season.
No, I think it's fitting. Thanks, guys.
All right, you bet. Dan McDonald, head baseball coach at Louisville, always a great guest with us. We look forward to more visits with him this spring.
He has been brilliant at Louisville, an incredible program. And the fact that there's a Derby reference always brings a smile to my face.
Yes, I know that. That's good. I like it.
Great series at Ole Miss, Louisville, to start things off. Love it.
Find out where you sit, right?
Yep, two
right
really good
the first
teams.
Pitch. Don't forget, we're going to have not only great baseball coverage, great softball coverage for you here on ACC Network. And we already alluded to this in the over-under segment. Today, softball makes its debut on ACC Network. 2:30 start, the first games ever at the Clemson Softball Stadium for John Ripman's team. They'll host Western Carolina in a doubleheader. We've got it for you here on ACC Network. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of fortune-telling at the tournament. Is there a Tuesday team that could get to, say, Friday? We'll talk about it. Packer and Durham on a Wednesday morning. ACC Network, Sirius XM 371, and always on the ESPN app.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Again, many thanks to Dan McDonald. Just joined us. Louisville Ole Miss gets things started this weekend. They are going to be loaded good. Cardinal baseball, as usual.
Yep.
Malcolm Huckabee will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes or so and talk some more hoops. What's the matter?
You going to ask Malcolm if I'll make the 6 o'clock start?
Well, I just wanted you to confirm that 6 o'clock, you're good to go.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Lights will be on
Sunday
at 6
night,
sharp.
Conte Forum.
There you go.
BC, NC State.
There you go. You're good.
Joe Giglio and I are apparently responsible for the Wolfpack success or not.
I wasn't aware of that.
Neither was I.
Didn't you have another? Oh, it was Dino Babers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't Dino Babers have something?
He was glad to see me because they were winning when we showed up. Roddy Jones, Eric Wood and I. They were winning.
But wasn't – I thought it was Dave Archer. Didn't he have an issue with Dave Archer? He had never – every time you were with Dave Archer?
No, every time Dave Archer went there in the old Raycon.
They never won.
They didn't win.
Right. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah,
Dave Archer. That's what I was thinking.
Maybe he told us that day. He said, yeah, when Archer used to show up here, we wouldn't win. But when West showed up, we won.
Yeah.
Until BC this year.
Right. Well, you know. How that goes. All streaks have to come to an end, Wes.
Yeah. Good to know. It's. And some guys, believe it or not, some coaches do.
Get paranoid with that stuff.
Know when
your
guy shows up, if you've been a winner or a loser when they show up. I don't know. Can't help you.
Hey, I can only
do the games I'm given.
I just hope you're there bright and early Sunday.
Oh, I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll be there.
All right, so I'm not going to worry about following up on a phone call like at 4 in the afternoon. Hey, Wes, you good?
Okay. All right? Good.
All right. Just double checking.
Sure. Yeah, whatever.
Double checking.
I was thinking it was 5:45, not 6:45. All worked out, though. You did a great job. It was like the old off-campus show for the first segment, first 5 minutes.
I told the boys when you were not here, they're like, Pack, you good going solo? I said, dude, I do it every day.
Do it every day, yeah. All right. So we said going to break. Tuesday's going to be interesting. We're starting to draw lines a little bit on the four teams for Tuesday. Looks like Carolina, mathematically, unless something changes quick, is going to be a Tuesday team.
They have given you nothing to make you believe that they will not be there.
Okay.
Right? I mean, let's be honest. They played terrific against Duke, lost. But last night was bad. I'm going to tell you, last night was one of those unacceptable.
Well, and I think you bring up an extra interesting point. From here on, it goes one way or the other.
Oh, you got it. Hey, with the schedule that is left for North Carolina, and they've been taking everybody's best shot mm-hmm. for 40-plus years.
Right.
So whether they're great or down, it really doesn't matter. When they come to your house, people are excited to play North Carolina. When you go play them in the Smith Center, you're excited to knock those dudes off if you can because it just doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, you have a wounded team that mentally was totally checked out last night. And you know what? They're going to catch people's best shot. So – you know, they can't be walking around campus thinking, oh, man, this really stinks. Hey, you better get ready to go play or else you'll get embarrassed like you were last night.
All right. Let's go through then. Let's say Carolina's given us no reason to believe they've got the run. Okay?
Totally agree with that.
So Wake Forest, interesting team. Can score the ball for sure. Question is, can they stop people from scoring?
And inconsistent.
Right.
I mean, I think the three that you've got down there right now, Wake, North Carolina, and Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident with all three of them on Tuesday.
Right. Now, do you think any of them can get to Friday?
No.
I don't.
Zero.
That's three wins. Now, let's say Clemson ends up in that group.
They're just not consistently good enough offensively, I think, to go on that kind of run.
Okay.
My opinion.
Got to win against Duke.
I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, they played great against Duke.
Yeah.
I was also in Little John.
Okay. Let's put Virginia Tech in that group.
Don't trust them at all right now. Can't make it three.
It's interesting how the season's turned a little bit for them. And look, we didn't have high expectations. So when they got off to the good start, beat Michigan State, Maui, got some nice conference wins, a little bit of confidence about kind of where the Hokies were. Landers Nolly was shooting it well. Beattie's done a tremendous job leading them. Tyrese Radford's given them some nice minutes and strong performances off the bench. But this recent little stretch here by the Hokies is a pause for concern.
Well, and it's more than just a stretch. It's five straight L's, and you've got the whole week off. So, I mean, it's been a long time since they've won a game. And knows what that feels like. I mean,
sure. That's
the other thing. That, you know, it's one thing to play, and you just want to be able to taste a W. And it's been a while for the Hokies.
All right. Georgia Tech plays Louisville tonight. and they're the last of the five win teams in this
list. Are they
going
to be in the tournament? Is that beneficial? Are they in? Are they out? What are we doing with that?
As I said the other day, my understanding is they have filed the appeal. It's not expected that appeal will be heard before postseason basketball begins. Now, the sanctions that they were originally handed down included no postseason
tournament
this year.
Right.
Now, Georgia Tech is probably in an interesting spot where I don't know what's happened there. We're into February now. I mean, it's mid-February this weekend.
Tournament's in 3-4 weeks.
It's 4 weeks. The championship game is 4 weeks from Saturday night.
The
question becomes, if they were to lose to Louisville, fall below 500, have no chance of postseason, do they want to take the sanction this year in order to take the recruiting class and this young team and move next year? I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't either.
And it's kind of why we asked Joe Giglio the question about where NC State is. You know, given where NC – the timing doesn't work out as well for NC State because they haven't been given any sanctions, so they can't appeal. They've just gone through all the, you know, notices and responses and all that jazz. And as Joe said, and rightly so, the NCAA doesn't move very fast anymore. But I think Georgia Tech – I don't know, Mark. I think that if they've had those conversations with the league, certainly nobody's been privy to them. I have no feel for – whether or not they want to be in Greensboro, do they need to be in Greensboro to move past this hurdle if they don't think they're going to get the appeal? If they think they're going to win the appeal, they're going to go to Greensboro.
Well, here's the weird thing about them, and you just rattled through Miami and North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Clemson. Georgia Tech, to me, is one of those teams, though, who can score.
Yeah.
And they have experience. They're one of those teams that I think of the bottom tier here could make a little noise in a perfect world.
Well, and they junk it up on defense enough to cause people problems.
I agree. And so that's why I'm asking you, are they in or are they out? Where are we going with Georgia Tech?
I don't know
the answer.
And it's a really good question, and I don't know that we've gotten any kind of official statement on it other than they're going to the ACC tournament. And we're certainly not trying to create a story here.
No, we're
but
not.
It's one that's been asked across the media line here a lot.
Yeah.
Are there going to be three games on Tuesday or two games on Tuesday? Because really that becomes the difference in the format. And it's my understanding and expectation that Georgia Tech is going to play this thing out unless we hear differently.
But of all the teams you just rattled off,
mm-hmm.
from Wake to North Carolina to Miami to Clemson to Virginia Tech, I would have more faith right now, today. And I can this my mind could change 800 times between now and next week. But Georgia Tech, if you throw them in that list,
right.
I think has the greater chance to be able to make some noise in the tournament.
Yeah.
Of that whole cluster of five or six teams.
Now, it's possible that somebody like Pittsburgh or Boston College, who's at six wins, maybe even Notre Dame at six wins, could fall back into those six teams that are going to play on Tuesday. But right now, it looks like Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Carolina, Wake, Miami
mm-hmm.
would be in the three ball games on Tuesday in Greensboro.
Right. They couldn't BC Pitt, and they both have a chance tonight with a win
sure.
to get to 500.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of where you draw the line versus the rest of the bottom tier, if you will.
Yeah.
But yeah, that cluster of six that you just rattled off, today, I have more faith in Georgia Tech than any of the other six to make some noise.
Yeah. And yet,
if anybody does.
I think it's highly unlikely. We've only seen it happen. I think we've seen a Tuesday team go to the semifinals, not since the tournament expanded to 15 teams.
And I would also tell you, too, just to look for some sunshine here for this bottom group.
Mm-hmm.
This college basketball season has been so upside down. Where we have seen teams, regardless of where they're ranked, lose to unranked teams,
right.
that we would be remiss if we just assumed that those bottom-tier teams had zero chance to make any noise in the conference tournament where they knew they had to play well to make some kind of noise. So, again, that's why you show up and watch these games in Greensboro on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Let me take you back real quick before we go to break, and I know Malcolm Huckabee is going to join us on the other side. Since 2006, when the tournament went to an 11-game format, only eight times have low seeds, 7-15, won in the quarters. And the last time was 2014, and that was a number 7 seed.
Hmm.
Okay? So no double-digit seed has made it to the semifinals in the current tournament format. The last double-digit seed to go to the semifinals was Miami in 2010. By the way, NC State also went to the semifinals in 2010 as well as an 11 seed.
Doesn't happen very often.
No, no. And I'm thinking that it's much harder now to do. Remember, Duke won the championship from a Wednesday slot. You remember that a couple of years ago in Brooklyn. I think it'd be a lot more difficult to do now, for sure, in the way the tournament format is structured. All right, when we go down the other side, Packers going to quiz Malcolm Huckabee extensively about just how punctual I've been, apparently, after my show this morning here of tardiness. So we'll get my man Huckabee ready to ride. We'll talk about a big Wednesday night of ACC basketball, what he saw last night as well, when Mr. Huckabee joins Packer and Durham next on ACC Network and Sirius XM 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, Power Hour. Malcolm Huckabee is coming up here momentarily.
What's
we'll touch base with him
Fuller
in a second.
Doing? Fuller wandering Fuller's around.
A little disappointed.
Here.
I mean, he was looking for his man Buddy West this morning at 7
God,
sharp.
Really?
And
7:05, he was in the door.
Yeah, I know, but you know, you two have kind of bonded.
Yeah, oh yeah, we bonded.
Even
right.
though you're a cat guy, yeah, you and Brother Fuller.
Clifford's coming to town this week.
There you go. Yeah. But you kind of bonded with Fuller, and he was a little out of sorts. He kind of knows when his buddy's not here. And so
wedged.
You ran late today.
Fuller has wedged himself.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
Plus, he hears that you may be going to a bakery after the show. So he's looking maybe riding shotgun with you.
Oh, man.
But you are pretty stingy when it comes to the car.
What?
You know, you don't like to you like to drive. You don't want anybody else messing around. So when Fuller wants to ride shotgun with you to the bakery.
You're not riding in a Honda now. Not going in.
Like I said, you're a little stingy when it comes to the master of the automobile.
Setting me up there. Okay, nice.
Wes is finally starting to connect dots on delay.
Yeah.
You've been kind of on delay today. It's been kind of a delayed day for you.
Yeah. Well, the over-under questions are like long-form math. What
were
we doing
that
there?
Didn't help you out at all either. I know that's not really your strength.
All right, so three games tonight here on the network, Louisville and Georgia Tech from McCamish Pavilion on Bobby Crimmins Court at 8 o'clock.
Louisville with a 10-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm. Right, Chris Cotter and Chris Patola will be there. Cards had a big crowd with them in Atlanta last year.
And this first time they hooked up in Louisville, it was a fist fight. That was a tough game for Louisville, so just keep your eye on that one.
What, look out. Uh-oh. Boys are excited. What do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Hey, what's up, boys? Come on. Hey, come on. Come on, this way.
Chester. Yeah,
come.
Here we go. All right. Unbelievable.
Don't know what happened there.
All right. Malcolm Huckabee standing sighting. By, I think. Maybe the dogs heard Malcolm was joining the show. All right. Oh, my man. What's happening? How you doing?
Huh? I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign. The dogs start barking. My first appearance on Packer and Durham. And the dogs are barking. So, again, I don't know if that's a setup, Mark, by Wes, who I've been traveling with on the road, where he said, you know what? This guy comes on, you see him, just start barking.
Well, let me just say one thing to you. The last time I think the dogs went nuts during an interview was our very first interview with the commissioner of the ACC, John Swofford.
Yeah.
So consider yourself in good company that the last time it's happened – was with the commish. So Malcolm, you got that going for
it. Yeah, you did a really good job. Second part is, as much as I've enjoyed working with Huckabee this year, he broke a show rule today.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. I heard about this, man.
That's a good point.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been in the financial services industry for the last 18 years, so I'm just so used to wearing a blazer. I didn't do the tie to you. But I did hear about your punctuality as you started talking about. And, you know, Mark, only when you're big time like Wes, you can do that. And again, I traveling with him on the road. I want to know if there's a backstory about him driving cars. Because every time I ask the drive to the arenas, he's like, no, I got it. So I want to know from you if there's some type of backstory with him and having to drive the car wherever we go.
That, Malcolm, I can't help you with because I get in a Ford F-150 and he rides shotgun. Which is normally where Chester is sitting. So I can't help you on that one. But, you know, you're going to have to work that out with your partner. You just also need to remind them that the game you guys are doing Sunday is at 6 p.m. sharp. Sharp.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. All right. Tell me what you saw last night that intrigued you about the three games. And I'm going to give NC State credit. I certainly want to give Virginia credit because you and I saw Notre Dame Saturday night. We thought Notre Dame was playing pretty well. Virginia gets a lot of credit. NC State might have won the night, though, for me, Malcolm, with the road win at Syracuse.
Yeah, I do. Obviously, Syracuse without Elijah Hughes, they're a completely different team. Joseph Girard had a huge night, 30 points. But give NC State credit. He was 1-10 from the three-point line. I think NC State's one of those interesting teams, right? You guys talk about the glob. You know, for me, you know, Markell Johnson's an important player for them. I think he's a guy that makes them go. He came off the bench last night against Syracuse. He had 8 points, 8 assists, but he had 4 turnovers in that game. And I think NC State, Coach Keats has talked about this where, at times they've had issues with turnovers. You know, Wes, we've had them a couple times this year, and I think they're one of those teams where on any given night they can look really good, and then on another night they can look really bad. I think the biggest issue for them, is the turnovers, in particular from the point guard play. On the other side, what intrigued me last night, you know, Notre Dame, we talked about that a little bit, but, you know, John Mooney is very good. I mean, he's, you know, Wes, we had a chance to see him the other night. What he's able to do and what he's been able to do the last 2 years in the ACC has been, you know, just remarkable. I think he's one of those guys that we don't talk about enough. He's in some pretty rare company. You talk about me with the dogs barking going along with Commissioner Swofford. But what he's been able to do at Notre Dame, we talked to Mike Bray about it, and he just said, listen, it's just, you know, there's not too many rebounds in his area that he doesn't get. On the flip side, Virginia. Virginia is one of those teams that I think has gotten better as we take a look at these numbers. I mean, that's, you know, Blake Griffin's playing for a pretty big paycheck at the next level right now. And, you know, you have to go back to when he was at Oklahoma to see the type of numbers and the type of season that John Mooney is having. And again, we talked about it the other night, Wes, on the broadcast, how he's not up for one of the top players. Or being talked about as one of the top players, not just in the ACC, but in college basketball, to me, is baffling. He is very good.
Malcolm, despite the win for NC State last night, and Notre Dame's still going to have an opportunity this weekend when they play Duke, they still need to steal one, don't they? I mean, NC State's got Duke twice, Florida State. We talked about the Notre Dame's game this weekend with Duke. If you're going to get in, there is still unfinished business. Great to get the win last night if you're the Wolfpack, but you've got 3 major games left on the schedule against ranked teams.
Yeah, it's a must. You know, Kevin Keats understands that what happened last season. They're looking on the outside in. I think there are plenty of opportunities for them to improve their resume. And you know, we've had this ongoing discussion about the ACC. How many teams do they get in? Do they get 3 in? Do they get 5 in? Do they get 4 in? I think there's plenty of opportunities for these teams, as you guys talk about in this big glob in the middle, to have opportunities to improve their standing. And then obviously you have the ACC tournament. But, you know, there's no doubt that NC State is one of those intriguing teams because when they're playing well, they'll force turnovers. They'll defend a 3-point line. You saw they did that last night against Syracuse, albeit without Elijah Hughes. But they're a very talented team. I think, though, the key word is they haven't been very consistent this year. So let's see how things fold out. But, yes, they're definitely going to have plenty, I think, opportunities to close out the season and obviously in the ACC tournament.
Malcolm, when you watch Virginia, I want to go back to Virginia's performance last night because Mark and I have talked about the fact that when you look at the Cavaliers, they were very good defensively last year but also were an elite shooting team with the 3 guys. Mm-hmm. Kihei Clark looks like he's picked up some of the scoring for him here in the last couple ball games. He's hit some big shots. But they make you play a certain way. How did they lose those early games, and are they getting just better enough offensively to go with what they do defensively, or are they going to be a style makes fights type team and force you to play one way, and if you can't get a bucket here or there, you're going to be in a rock fight like Notre Dame was last night?
Well, when we talk about Coach of the Year candidates, I think Tony Bennett probably has to be included in that conversation. Chris Mack talked about this after they played Virginia. He said, you know, so much for them not being able to score. They're a very good team. I think they're very well coached. And this stat line sticks out to me. Last night against Notre Dame took 7 free throws in the game. 0 in the second half, and I think they took 2 in OT. They are one of the best defensive teams, but here's the key. They do it without fouling you. Mm-hmm. And that is very difficult to do, to play that hard, to defend the way they do, and to do it in the right way. That tells me a couple of things. Obviously, they're very well coached. They're disciplined. They have the right personnel. And they're one of those teams that, again, when you talk about ACC tournament, when you talk about a potentially NCAA tournament, I don't think there's too many teams that want to see Virginia. Right now, they still lead all of college basketball and fewest points allowed. So they're going to defend, and they're doing it in a different way. They're not like Florida State, where they're going to get out in the passing lanes and try to turn you over, or like NC State, where they want to turn you over and get up and down. They're going to let you reverse the ball. They're going to allow you to run your offense, but there's very few shots that aren't contested, and then they do a great job on the defensive glass. So, again, that stat, it's just mind-boggling that Notre Dame last night in the overtime game took 7 free throws, 0 in the second half. That's a testament to Tony Bennett and how well they're coached.
All right, 3 games tonight. Any one of them pop off the page for you?
You know, I think let's just keep it with the glob. All of them. I mean, I think whether it's last night, tonight, it's getting closing time. So for all these teams that are in the middle of the pack, you guys mentioned a Boston College, you mentioned Georgia Tech, you mentioned all these teams. Obviously, Georgia Tech, you know, credit Josh Pastner, everything going on. He still has these guys playing hard. But NC States of the world, every game is important. So it's not just one game. I think everybody has a chance to knock off a Louisville. Everybody has a chance to knock off a FSU, obviously in the ACC tournament. For me right now, I think it's who's going to separate from this glob. We saw Notre Dame, Wes. I think they're an intriguing team. We talked about John Mooney. There's the dogs going again. Rex Pfluger. Rex Pfluger is a guy, I think.
Yep.
They're starting to get healthy again. So if I had to pick a team, that I think could potentially come out of that glob, you got to throw Virginia in there. They're right there in that mix. I'd say Virginia right now is a team that has just continued to get better. They started off, obviously, they were taking everybody's best shot. So I'm just going to go with, okay, who do I think out of those teams that are in, that are not in the top three, who do I think has the best chance to go on a run in the ACC tournament, and who I think I wouldn't want to see come? The closing, I'm going to go with Virginia.
There you go. See you Sunday in Boston. Thanks for the time, as always.
I'm looking forward to it, guys.
All right. Malcolm Huckabee joins us. He'll be with me on Sunday night, 6 o'clock, NC State and Boston College at Conte Forum.
We hope so.
Well, when we come back on this show, by the way, I'm sitting next to the guest lecturer today.
Get that right.
At the Queen's University School of Business.
McCall
School of Business. These young people have no idea what they're in store for.
And I'm going to be on time.
Yeah. We're going to get a preview of Mr. Packer's.
Professor.
Adjunct Professor Packer's lecture to these young, enterprising people when we come back. You ready for that?
I'm ready. Hey, I am ready to roll. It's an important day.
And, the real question is, are you going to wear a tweed sport coat and smoke a pipe when you walk in the room?
Nope.
Stuart Bombay will join us when we continue our final segment on Packer and Durham.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Packer and Durham, the final segment of today's show. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program.
If you've never stayed around past the top of the hour for the replay on ACC Network, you really ought to do it today. It's worth your time.
Wes Durham, the invisible man for the first handful of minutes.
Because I'm going to leave and come back. How's that? Just kidding. All right. Now, we've talked about this for a couple of weeks, and today's the day. The adjunct professor, Stuart Bombay, Mark Packer, is going to address, and for those of you that don't get the Stuart Bombay reference, there's a Rodney Dangerfield movie called Back to School. I will never, ever, you will never, ever pass my class. Anyway, today you're the guest lecturer in the Hugh McCall School of Business.
Yes.
At Queen's University here in Charlotte.
That is correct.
Do you know the class you're speaking to, Mr. Packer? And what's that class?
It's the Principles of Marketing. Marketing 340. Loaded with sophomores and juniors. We've got about 25 students.
And what is today's lecture going to be based on? Because I'm confident none of them are watching Packer and Durham at this juncture.
Well, they might be. First of all, you better be prompt. How about that? That's the first lesson, Durham. You got to be on time. Nothing gets done until something gets sold.
Is that the premise of our lecture?
No, it's going to be connection with your customer.
Okay.
It's going to be one of the things I'm going to talk about today.
Now, people don't know this, and I'm surprised because Mark, and I'm just going to tell you, has done a phenomenal job in this industry of not just being as talented a person as I've ever worked with in this
format.
Now
he's sucking up to the host after being late.
But the other thing is, you also were at the forefront of broadcast rights, Clemson, LSU, Maryland.
Right.
Am I missing anybody there?
No, that's correct.
Okay. Marketing companies to handle promotions around events.
Right.
Things of that nature.
Correct.
This stuff here only came into existence, what? I want to say 20 years ago?
25.
25 years ago?
Yeah.
Before that, you were in the business, sales, promotion, marketing, event management company.
Right.
Business.
Correct.
So you're more than qualified to do this today.
Oh, this is a walk
in the
park.
In fact, this is what you enjoy doing. As much as you like doing this, you love doing that stuff too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what else are we getting today?
I think just establishing a brand will be one of the things we get into today. And how you go about doing that.
We got a brand.
Chester and Fuller. Packer and Durham.
Yeah.
Southern Fried Football.
There you go.
We can go through. I got a list of 1,000 things.
You going to talk about the show today?
It might pop up in conversation, but it's more important than just doing a radio or television show.
Right.
It's things that kind of spin off of it. Syndication rights, for example, could come into play here.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of everything.
Shows in Coach K's office on radio?
I've got 1,000 stories. That's the easiest
part.
Oh, they
want you to tell stories?
I can tell. If they want me to, I can tell 1,000 stories.
That's good.
But the key here is really, find what you love to do and go for it. Don't worry about the money.
All right.
Find what you love to do. It sounds easy, but it's not.
Right.
It's a hard thing to do. But as soon as you can identify what it is, then you go as hard as you can and do not worry about the money. Let the money chase you, Wes Durham.
Quick show of hands in the room in Bristol. Josh, Drew. Pack the lecture. I would think this would be a fairly interesting class if I were a sophomore or junior at Queen's University today. I'm in. You guys in?
I take it. Absolutely. Yeah. The real question is this going to be the hardest class that any of these kids have taken at school? But I'm definitely in. Oh, we got a lot to learn from Pack.
Yeah.
I will say this. It will be an entertaining hour and a half.
That's only an hour and a half?
It's an hour and a half class. Hour and a half lecture.
Okay.
Then I got to get back here to do the 3-hour radio show.
If a student shows up late, are you going to kick him out?
No. No, I won't, but perhaps the real professor will. But that's not for me to determine.
What if it's only 5 minutes?
Sign the sheet, dude. I signed the sheet. I was here.
What sheet are you talking about?
The show sheet. I signed the show sheet. We're in. I did the show today.
Okay.
I get credit for this one.
You get credit?
Yeah, I get credit for this. Right? Drew? Josh?
Oh, yeah.
Credit.
Your agent called us and made sure that you got credit for it.
Agent. Stuart Bombay.
You might need a new agent.
I might need a new agent. Never know. Might not be happy with me.
By the way, a shout out because it's a distant cousin.
Uh-oh.
But Seba, won Best in Show last night at the Westminster Kennel Club.
A lab standardized, or a cockapoo?
Standardized poodle. So it's a distant cousin to Chester.
Great.
Just saying. You're really in professor mode, obviously. Standardized poodle?
That's
it's a standardized
one?
Test. A standard poodle.
Go look it up. Look it up.
Nah.
I know you're mad. I get it. I'm not even bearing Macri today because he was so fired up about the orange last night.
How about the text?
Let's keep that text to ourselves.
Let's keep that to ourselves. Anger. How about the anger?
The venom. I deleted it.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't want anybody involved in seeing any of that.
Not good.
No, it was not good.
But there was such a bravado of, we're going to roll.
Roll.
Right? I think that was the term I remember hearing yesterday. We're rolling NC State.
Where's the Scoop Jardine jersey, by the way? No Scoop Jardine today?
No Scoop. Nope. Stayed in the closet.
It is. We have come to an abrupt halt on Orange Fever after last night with our man Macri.
Absolutely.
One game.
So.
And your star gets hurt. I mean, come on. Elijah Hughes gets injured.
In warm-ups.
Crazy.
Some would say it's the Packer and Durham curse. I wouldn't.
No,
some
not
would
that.
Say that.
Not that one.
No.
By the way,
Kevin Keats on this show tomorrow at 9 a.m. Is he concerned that I'm doing their game on Sunday? Plus, what kind of ice cream did he get last night leaving Syracuse?
Oh, man, you are really rubbing it in now.
What kind of ice cream did Kevin Keats get, and where did he get it? Where'd they stop and get the ice cream last night? There's a Tim Hortons near the airport. I know that. All right. Tomorrow morning we start this show at 7 a.m., Pack.
Yeah, I'll be here. Bright and early. I'm telling you what, at 3:45 when I roll out of bed, I'm sending you a text just as a reminder.
By the way, if you missed any of the show, sit tight. The first 5 minutes are the best of the 119 shows we've done. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Kevin Keats joins us. Have a great day, Professor.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.